folks, are we a church that recognizes who God is when we get together? Did you really walk away and say, you know, I really recognize I had an encounter with the immutable, sovereign God. The Spirit spoke to me. If not, it's an internal issue. It's an internal issue. Yeah, it really is. Have you been declaring God's greatness?
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Van Bever. Brother Dave challenged us each to praise God joyfully and not to forsake attending church as non-believers do. Brother Dave preached from Psalms 100 in a sermon titled Worship Together or Die Alone. We trust his message will speak to you, and we pray that you might be encouraged by his words.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 states, "Do not forsake our own assembling together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I think it's interesting that the author of Hebrews, who we do not know exactly who it is, says something that's really crucial about the church. If they're going to succeed, if they're going to carry on, if the good news is going to go out, the church has to do something very serious. And they need to continue to meet together. Do not forsake meeting together. It doesn't say if you get a little upset because something didn't happen right in the service that I need to quit coming to church there. It doesn't say if you have a problem with someone who's leading that you need to quit going there. It says do not forsake meeting together. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says something very clear. Turn with me if you want to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. John gets cast up into heaven, and he goes before an angel, and the angel takes him before the throne of God, and this is what he sees. "And there were four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" When do they stop? When do they stop praising God? Never. What do they say? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That's their one function in life. That's their one function in existence, to give praise to God. And they don't stop. They don't say, "Oh, well, these lyrics are too old." They keep praising the Lord. Who do they worship? The God who was and is to come. Psalm 122:1 says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" That's the first verse that I memorized. You know why? Because I loved coming to worship. I love being in God's house. Yep, now I get paid a little bit to be here. So glad that God's called me to ministry. You're right. But you know what? If I didn't, in fact, if someone threatened me each time I came, I would come because I exist to glorify the Lord. Are you glad when you come to the Lord's house? Are you glad when you come to the Lord's house? If not, don't come here. I'm serious. I'm 100% serious. Don't be here if you aren't glad to be here. Now, I'm going to admit, if you're like me, sometimes when I wake up and I have my quiet time, or Valerie can tell you sometimes I have my quiet time at night, it's not real easy for me to do it. Sometimes there's better times. Sometimes there's better quiet times. Isn't that right, Danny? There's sometimes where you can really feel the Lord move. There's sometimes I've been brought to tears. Just open up God's Word. I'm really serious. I'm not one who really cries a whole lot, right? But there's times I've opened up God's Word and I've cried. It's beautiful. Stand with me in honor of God's Word. Psalm 100. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. It is faithfulness to all generations." Let's pray. Eternal, immutable, sovereign, just, triune God. Lord, those are just words. Those are just symbols that we use to try and capture your radiance. Lord, we know that words are useless. We can't articulate how great you are, how awesome you are, how incredibly indebted we are to you. Lord, when we look at your word and we hear, Lord, of your revelation that you've given to believers in the past, God, we know that it's nothing we've done. It's your sovereign will that we're called to salvation. Lord, we can't help but praise you. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Lord, we ask that your Spirit come today to guide our hearts, to guide us in unity as believers. Lord, we seek you. We seek your love. We seek your presence. And we desperately desire for an encounter with you. Lord, use this time to refresh us as believers. Use this time to direct our hearts. Call us to repentance. Each of us, God, every one of us, call me to repentance, Lord. We are unworthy to stand in your presence. Worthy. God bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship should be beneficial to the believer. You know what happened when John left God's radiance? Or you can think about what happened when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, when he faced God's radiance. What happened? His face shone and it scared people around him. Millard Erickson writes that worship, the practice of the exaltation of God, was a common Old Testament practice, and it can be seen particularly in the book of Psalm. Boy, if you haven't just sat down and read the book of Psalm, if you've never read all the way through the book of Psalm, it'll take you more than just one sitting, I promise you. It takes about 36 minutes, I believe, to read through at a regular pace Psalm 119 itself. I've done it a few times. I don't say that to lift myself up, but I'm just telling you to give you a picture. The pictures of heaven in Revelation, elsewhere, the people of God, the representatives recognizing and declaring God's greatness. In this aspect of this activity, the church centers its attention on who and what God is and not itself. It aims at approximately expressing God's nature and not satisfying its own feelings. That's from Millard Erickson's Christian Theology textbook. Folks, are we a church that recognizes who God is when we get together? Can you really walk away and say, you know, I really recognize, I had an encounter with the immutable, sovereign God. The Spirit spoke to me. If not, it's an internal issue. It's an internal issue. Yeah, it really is. Have you been declaring God's greatness? Have you been declaring God's greatness? The people of God declare God's greatness. Let's unpack a little bit of Psalm 100 real quick, okay? And I say unpack, I mean, let's look at the language there. Let's look at the analogies. Let's look at the synonyms, the metaphors, the words, the verbiage that the author of the psalm uses. It's really interesting. This is not a psalm of David. Historically, what I find when I look at the background of this psalm, it is a psalm that the people used as a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, I'll say this, because it's something, I love this psalm. This is a psalm that Valerie and I had read at our wedding. I love this psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. The words there for shout are actually, in some they might say, make a noise, some translations. You know what? I am not a good singer, despite what my mom might tell me just to make me feel good. But I can make a noise. Heck yes, I can make a noise. Do you make a noise to the Lord? A joyful noise? But notice what the author of the psalm says. And this is really, really crucial in understanding the whole message that is the Bible, right? One thing that I love about God's word is that there's a consistency through it. There's a fluidity throughout. The author of this psalm doesn't say, make a joyful noise, O people of Israel. Who does he say? Make a joyful noise, all the earth. And interesting, we can look and we can see that there was going to be a time that all in the earth were called. You remember when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem? What do the Pharisees and the Sadducees say? Quiet him down. Jesus says, if they don't, then the rocks will cry out. Now, I don't know about you. That would be a pretty scary thing. That'd be a pretty bad situation. The rocks cry out. Psalm 14, it says, what? Heaven declares the glory of God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes that the whole earth gives testimony to God. What else do we have here? Serve the Lord with gladness. You know why this psalmist could say, shout to the Lord all the earth? Because he or she served the Lord with gladness. Just, I'm almost finished with Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship. Those of you who know a little bit about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a professor in Germany during World War II. Before World War II, the Jews started to get sent to camps and there was persecution. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke against the Catholic Church. He said, wait a second, we can't just go along with what Hitler's doing. He comes over to the United States. And of course, in the United States, he was a prestigious lecturer. Man, this guy knew theology up and down. It's really nice today. Yesterday, we had a question about who the angel of the Lord is, right? Those of you who were there, right? And I said, oh, no problem. I pull out my Kindle, I type in the angel of the Lord, and I find every piece of scripture that I want on the angel of the Lord, and then I find a theory on what the angel of the Lord is. You know what? I'm sure some of you remember this. Back in about 1940, you couldn't just do that. You had to have it up here, right? Margaret's a great example of this with phone numbers. If you need a phone number, you go to her. She'll just kick it right out. She remembers it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer did that with theology. Folks, and you know what happened to him? When he was over here, he saw the persecution of those who were true believers. And he said, you know what? I can't just stand by here in America and lecture at prestigious universities. I got to go over there and speak truth. And you know what happened to Bonhoeffer? He gets captured by the Germans, right? They put him in a torture camp. And of course, that's where he writes the majority of The Cost of Discipleship, while in prison camps. Just a few days. I mean, literally, just a few days. April the 9th, 1945. Just a few days before the end of the war, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is killed for his faith. You see, because for him, it was a joy to serve the Lord. He served the Lord with gladness. Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Let me admit, sometimes servanthood is not an easy thing. That's why it's called servanthood. I don't think that it was easy for Jesus to be a servant for His creation. All you have to do is read Philippians chapter 2. Let's move over there real quick to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. One thing that biblical scholars will tell us about Philippians chapter 2 is right here we have what is called it's essentially an early hymn by the church. The church had this early hymn, and in fact, if you were to read this, right, you can see from early manuscripts that Paul actually writes this in a distinct way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Again, an early hymn of the early church, and here's what he writes about Christ. For this reason also God highly exalted him, he's talking about Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that every knee will bow and bow of those in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So this is who Jesus is. You see it there? But jump up here a little bit to verse 6. And this is the beginning of that great song. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. But look at verse 5. Have this attitude in yourself. Serve the Lord with gladness. There's a theme of humility there, isn't there? Let's move down. Let's look some more in this psalm, though, because I think that that's one of the keys. know that the Lord Himself is God. Okay? It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. Folks, do you see what serving the Lord with gladness causes us? There's something that happens when we serve the Lord with gladness. We are humble. We realize that we're not in control. We realize that we are His people, that He is our Creator, that we're the sheep of His pasture, that we belong to the sovereign Lord. Who shouts to the Lord? All the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord Himself is God. You're not God. That's not a popular message in today's world. I want to tell you something. This is really exciting, right? This week, I gave a midterm to my students, right, at a college class, right? And there was 50 points possible on this. But here was the key about this whole midterm. I gave them every single question and every single answer throughout the semester, right? Now, these kids are paying to be in college. And I don't want to embarrass Evie, but I gave her the same final. She's never sat in my class. She had a better score, as good a score as 5 of those college kids. But do you want to know why that is? It's not because Evie is so intelligent. It's not because she's so intelligent, though. It's because those kids are so self-centered, self-focused. If it's not about me and if it's not about what I want, then I don't have to worry about it. The problem is, when they come to my class, that doesn't fly. That doesn't fly with God. That doesn't fly with true worship. How can I know the true Lord and think that I'm God of my life? Those are diametrically opposed ideas. I like a second verse here. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now, of course, the early psalmist would have looked at Psalms 4, and when he used this metaphor, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, he knew, or she knew, that when she came into the tabernacle, you had to go through a gate, and then the exclusive place, the Holy of Holies, well, the priest only got to go there one time a year. But when I come into the gates, you know, I love this about this church. We got these nice doors, and they do both open. We rarely fan both of them out. But it's kind of like a gate. You enter that gate with thanksgiving. If not, don't be here. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. Not because I'm some brilliant preacher, not because I'm some brilliant mind. Goodness sakes. I'm not by any means. There are people that are so brilliant. They could pick up God's word and they could read it to you in its original Koine, or its original Hebrew. I'm not that guy. But I'll tell you what I am. I'm a brother in Christ. I'm one of the sheep of the pasture, just like you are. Yeah, that's right. But here's one thing that's really important. I'm serving the Lord where He's called me to be. I want to serve the Lord with gladness. I recognize who the Lord is. I recognize who the other sheep are. I'm one. I'm one of His people just like you. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. All generations. Who is God faithful to? God's not just faithful to the greatest generation, right? We all know that, right? Some of us are members of the greatest generation in the United States. God's not just faithful to you all. God's faithful to Gabe's generation. You know, Gabe's technically in a different generation than I am, right? God's faithful to Gabe. But how can Gabe's generation know if a group of believers decides that they don't want to enter God's gates with thanksgiving? They don't want to serve the Lord with gladness. They don't want to shout a joyful noise to the Lord. You know what happens when we all decide that we don't want to give a joyful noise to the Lord? That we are maybe a more important sheep, the sheep in Gabe's generation. we act in contradiction to God's word. It started with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let's go back there. Let's start with 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Folks, how are you able to pursue righteousness? Because you're with those who call on the Lord. What should you not do? What should you be doing? You should be stimulating one another to love and good deeds. You shouldn't forsake meeting together. Those of you who have Facebook, posted a sermon from Titus chapter 2 online. If you're familiar with Titus, right? The letter is given to the church who's having issues. Really interesting. The old people and the young people, button heads. You need to look at what God gave Paul as a revelation to do. I could tell you, but you could read it on your own, and then you could listen to another preacher. But I think there's a consistency in God's word. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Drew, do you have that graphic? We brought in a church health consultant. Can you all see the overall health of the church? Can you see where it falls? There's a problem when that is the case. If that's the case, my hope for people like Gabe's generation who are here in Calhoun, I'm a positive person. Unaltered, unchanged, do the same thing. Gabe, you like this church? Oh, you do? Do you want this church to be here when you're 15? How about 20? How about 30? Old man like me, how about 50? You do? Why? Why do you like to be here? Oh, because you learn about God. Anyone make you come to church today, Gabe? Someone wake you up and say you have to be at church today? Oh, no, why not? I'm glad you're here. I don't care. I'm glad you're here. In Calhoun alone, there's at least probably 15 Gabes. I don't know. Debbie knows a little bit more than I do about them. So does Heather. But Gabe, we'll let you down. We'll fail you if this church isn't here when you're 15 or 20 or 30. We'll fail you. I want you to make sure you know everyone who fails you. Because that's not what we're called to do. God's faithfulness is to all generations. I believe His mercy and His grace is available to all generations. Something has to be done, though. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Number 311, you know, I don't know how God is working on your life today. I know God has worked on my life today. God's reminded me of my position in front of an immutable, eternal, sovereign, just triune God. I'm created for glory, to glorify that God. I'm going to spend time during our invitation. I'm praying that God will forgive me of my failings, of my faults, of my selfishness, because I can be very selfish. Just ask Valerie. But I pray that your heart is in the right place. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Respond as we sing.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you were touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.